Before we dive in, a shout out from our sponsor, Growth Collective. Are you truly satisfied with your ad buying partner? Do they bring constant creative ideas, consistently hit your targets, and offer impeccable service? If you're shaking your head no, let's talk about Growth Collective. The largest businesses are unlocking growth by focusing on what truly matters for brands in 2024. Constant creative output. Growth Collective has flipped the agency model upside down, being a creative-first agency, supported with a superb ad buying team with over $500 million of spend. They've worked with some of the largest D2C brands like BombTech Golf, Hush Blankets, CrossNet, and Firebelly Tea. Here's something truly exciting. Growth Collective is offering you, our listeners, a free comprehensive ad account and creative audit. Discover hidden trends within your account, pinpoint untapped audience segments, and unlock creative possibilities to turbocharge your customer acquisition efforts. Ready to implement a strategy that supercharges your brand's growth? Visit wearegrowth.co and mention the unofficial Shopify podcast. Unlock your store's potential with a growth partner with a proven track record like Growth Collective. That's wearegrowth.co. Hello, my friends. I love my tools. I love my toys. I love my gadgets. We all have shiny toy syndrome, right? Like you want the latest and greatest. It's fun to play with the toys and it feels productive even when it's not. But when you get the right set of tools, when you figure out what works for you, suddenly, productivity goes up. Your output improves and that turns into ideally revenue. A better website that converts better, or a website that gets more organic traffic to it, or campaigns that run better. Oh, the potential energy of the right tool set is thrilling and exciting, right? To me, buying a new cordless drill has the same value and excitement as trying a new SaaS product. And so I want to talk today about tools. I want to talk about SEO tools. I have some experience with SEO tools. I have moderate experience with SEO, but I need an expert. I need someone who does SEO all day, every day, has years of experience, and knows these tools backwards and forwards, and can give me the crash course, could talk it through with me. And so today I am joined by Patrick Samuel Rice, who's spoken on SEO, runs an SEO agency, knows SEO for e-commerce at Shopify. And I talked to him a couple weeks ago and had him, I'm like, what tools do you use? What do you use them for? And just a wealth of knowledge. And so we're gonna have that discussion today on the unofficial Shopify podcast. And of course, I'm your host, Kurt Elster.
Jack Nasty.
Mr. Patrick Samuel Rice, thank you for joining us. All right. Traditionally, if your name is given as three names, You're an assassin, a serial killer. Isn't that the rule?
I don't know what the rules are. Normally, I do go by Patrick Rice, though.
I don't know why it was in my notes and in the calendar invite as Patrick Samuel Rice.
I probably added it in there like that.
All right, Lee Harvey. quickly tell our audience a little bit about your journey into becoming a e-com SEO expert.
I've been doing SEO for about half a decade, maybe a little bit longer, and I have had a long journey going from an SEO agency, dropping out of that and starting my own freelance career for several years, and then eventually landing myself in e-commerce SEO, specifically for Shopify. I have my own Shopify brands I play around with, and then I have a lot of Shopify clients. And the way I sort of fell into this was really near the beginning of my career. I had an opportunity for a large Shopify client. And I got started working on Shopify SEO pretty early. That was 5 years ago. And ever since then, I've been fascinated by that whole world of Shopify.
So you're running an SEO agency now. What's the name of it?
So right now it's Patrick Rice Co. which is kind of a lame name. It's more so me.
Agency names are so tough. And like every domain name is taken, so good luck.
I know. So I actually do have a business partner, and we're considering rebranding soon. But yeah, so right now it's Patrick Rice Co. But I think an agency is mostly about the people behind it, your reputation. So that's what I'm really building right now.
A majority of your work, 80% or more, is e-com, is Shopify. How'd you end up focusing on e-commerce?
Because 5 years ago, I got this large e-commerce SEO client, you know, doing 200,000 monthly organic. They were selling like all kinds of crazy, you know, self-defense gear or whatever it was. And I just had the opportunity because my old mentor, Craig Lawson, who was my boss, my first SEO agency boss, he actually supported the move from going from 1 year in SEO as an employee to being a freelancer. And the way that he proved that is he gave me a massive client. And that client so happened to be a Shopify brand doing about 200,000 monthly organic traffic. And that was really my first sort of foray into the whole world of e-com SEO. And yeah, I've seemed to just kind of find my footing there. And later on, I would go about increasing organic revenue by over 100% for several brands. And I think that just, it was almost out of necessity. Like that's what I had to work on. And I was like, okay, I need to make it work. And I have this opportunity. So sort of just fell into it. And then now, I don't know, I think when you get good at something, like you, that spark of passion just kind of grows in you. So that's sort of how I fell into it.
Yeah. Once you try it and discover, and you get a win, mm-hmm. and you get that hit of dopamine, nothing beats it. You're like, I want that again. And you do it again and you get it again. Only in the process, you're also getting better at it, but you need to do more complex things to gain that same dopamine hit as the novelty of getting good at something wears off. And so if you can repeat that process, it is an absolute delight to become skilled at something, isn't it? Even if it's, you know, it's SEO, it's technical, it's something that might be boring to 9 out of 10 people. It's just, if it's exciting for you and you get that thrill from it, don't let anyone take that away from you. Just jam on it until you're great at it.
I absolutely love it. I might be an SEO nerd, but I absolutely love it. There's something about seeing the rank tracking, like there's something competitive about it because it's like positions. Like you're number one, number two, number three, right? It's like inherently competitive. So I don't know. I love it.
Oh, I never thought of it that way. Oh, that's clever. Because you've done SEO for e-com, but also non-e-com. What's unique about SEO for e-commerce stores, for Shopify stores?
The difference is the number of pages typically and the complexity of the websites. So when you think about like a local website, you know, maybe it's a plumber, like a plumber in whatever your local city is, it doesn't really make sense for him to have tons of pages, right? Like he's going to have maybe 5 to 10 services. He's going to have some blog posts, but overall the website's going to be maybe a couple hundred pages. And that's even for a more competitive location. While an e-commerce brand might have thousands of pages, and they're targeting tons of different product keywords, and they have to really rely on optimization of not just, you know, 10 money pages. Like usually a plumber has like 10 services. Those are what he cares about. He wants to rank those 10 services, plumber in Atlanta, you know, like that's kind of his goal. For e-commerce, it's, you know, we like to have these like ideal keywords that are these big keywords like shoes or whatever it is. Like at the end of the day, you need to rank for thousands of keywords, even hundreds of thousands of keywords, because there's a lots of ways that people search. There's a lot of products. And the real difference becomes number of pages. I hope I don't go into too much jargon. I will try to stop myself wherever possible.
No, it's quantity and breadth of topics available to us, of keywords we're targeting. That's what creates the issue. That adds the difficulty to it. And just, yeah, you know, sheer quantity of content that we have to optimize for. Geez, do we talk tools or strategy? Well, I said tools, so let's start with that. Give me the crash course on what are the must-have tools
The must-have tools, especially if you're just getting into SEO, so you don't have, you know, a lot of experience there, SEMrush, and then a Shopify app called Matrixify.
And I love Matrixify.
Yes, it's the best. It's the best tool ever for Shopify SEO.
If you're a power user, you can't live without this.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the audience might know Matrixify. But if you don't, it's a fantastic tool. It allows you to update, optimize, and organize products at scale. You can export all of your products. You can optimize them and then import them back to the website. Same with product categories. And so there's tons of tools we could talk about, but those three, especially for someone that's, you know, getting into it and wants to, you know, do some quick and dirty optimization, those tools are incredible. You know, SEMrush, Matrixify, you could run a whole SEO agency with those tools.
I believe it. And it's not because of what of any individual tool, it's because of what that enables you to do at scale. So you talked about, you know, the difficulty with e-commerce is just the sheer number of pages that it can be there, you know, hundreds to thousands, because we're doing products collections plus interior pages and then maybe blog articles as well. And you, so you need a way to be able to see all that, to be able to bulk update it and to be able to get that data out. Matrixify is your tool there. Matrixify, formerly Excelify, as in Microsoft Excel, until they politely asked them to change the name, will export nearly any piece of data that's in the Shopify store into a spreadsheet so that you can see it, manipulate it, and then import it back in, update it, merge it. I get that. ChatGPT, I get it. We could do data analysis with it, content generation, and, you know, any number of data transformations with it. SEMrush, all right, that's where my knowledge gets fuzzy. That's the SEO-specific tool.
Yeah, so let's dig in.
What are we doing with it?
Yeah, so SEMrush is critical for the operation. And it's one of the most popular SEO tools. And these are essentially like power suites. So they have tons of different SEO tools. But all we really need it for is for keyword research. And so you have Matrixify to pull all of your products, but you need to know what is the best keyword for each one of those products. And we can use ChatGPT to even optimize a lot of the elements of each product. But it is so critical. I can't emphasize enough how important it is to choose the right keyword. And so this is where SEMrush comes in.
All right, so where I could get in trouble here is I could take, like, even if I don't want to use all these tools, but I have ChatGPT.
Yeah.
I could say, like, here's my product description. Here's my product title. Here's my product description. Write an SEO title and description for it. It'll do it. You know, it'll just output something. But you're saying I have not given it the right direction. It's just working in the dark. The missing magic here is what keyword to target or what keyword phrase.
That's exactly right. I couldn't have said it better myself. Like, the thing is,
okay,
ChatGPT will do anything you tell it to, but it won't do it right.
Whether or not it's right.
Exactly. So it won't do it right unless you guide it. And so what we're doing in our operation is we're mapping these keywords. We're saying for each product, this is the right keyword. So if we bring this down to earth a little bit, if you have a dog harness, if you just ask ChatGPT to make a title, it might come up with something, you know, okay. But if you target a specific keyword, so maybe like small dog harness, something like that, right? So like medium-sized dog harness in yellow. So that would be a type of product keyword that you would want to target. And you'd be able to see with SEMrush how much search volume that has. And that's just an example. So no promises it has search volume. But maybe small yellow dog harness does. And so that's going to be your target keyword. And once you have that target keyword, you can give it to ChatGPT. And what it can do is just magic. Like, it can look at it. It can understand it. It can understand SEO to a pretty good degree. And so once it has a target keyword, it can optimize a page, a title tag, and a product description pretty well using that keyword.
Is there extra steps there? What do I got to pick? I'm looking at SEMrush now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to give it an example domain name.
So I would jump into the keyword magic.
The keyword magic tool. Okay.
Yeah. So there's two places on SEMrush you want to check. You want to check one keyword magic tool. That's where you can add in any keyword and it'll come back with a list. So if you search dog harness, you'll get all the different dog harness keywords. So maybe small, large dog harness, you know, full back dog harness, whatever keywords there is. It'll gather all of those for you. And so if you have a product page that's a yellow dog harness, you can search on their yellow dog harness and it will tell you whether it has search volume and how many people actually search that keyword on Google per month.
And so, all right, so I did it. I typed in cinnamon tea and it came back with like, here's some example keyword phrases. And then it's got intent, informational, commercial, transactional, volume, density. How do I decide on what's the keyword phrase I want here?
Yeah, so that's actually a pretty, it could be a long discussion. I'm going to try to make it as concise as possible. But essentially, you want something that is relevant to your page as much as possible and that has search volume. So if you're doing this at scale, you don't need to worry about, like, for example, if you have an individual product page, you don't need to rank it for dog harness. You actually need your product collection page to rank for dog harness. So for the product level, you're going to be looking for something very specific that if somebody is looking for that exact product, you know, like cinnamon tea, then plus brand, something like that, or, you know, whatever the cinnamon tea, then plus quantity of tea. So it's kind of these keyword patterns that often happen.
Okay. So there's a little bit of, it's art and science. It's subjective. I got to read through it and kind of figure out like, all right, this is a sensible keyword phrase. Are there volume minimums? Does it not matter?
For product pages, it doesn't really matter too much because you're usually going to have a lot of them. So I wouldn't worry. As long as it has search volume, you're fine. Because if you do think about it, even at 10 search volume per month, that means about 10 people search it per month. I mean, if you optimize 100 pages or 1,000 pages that all have 10 search volume per month, you know, that gets up there pretty quick. And so before you know it, you're at like 10,000 searches per month. So for product pages, I wouldn't worry too much about high search volume. I'd mainly look for relevance there. So is the person searching for your exact product? And does that have search volume? As long as they're searching for your exact product, it's a good target keyword.
Today, I am thrilled to introduce our latest sponsor, Finale Inventory. Managing inventory could be a hassle, but Finale makes it a breeze. Here's a snippet from my chat with Pauline at Finale.
We work with sellers kind of across the spectrum, from like $1 million to $50 million, but it really is all about that complexity.
Whether you're a small startup or a multi-million dollar business, Finale's got you covered. And for our listeners, they've got something special.
When you call the team, mention unofficial 2024, and your listeners can get 20% off their first 3 months with Finale.
Finale isn't just software. It's a growth partner for your e-commerce journey. Dive in with a free 2-week trial and discover the difference. Visit finaleinventory.com and don't forget to use the code unofficial2024 for your special discount. That's it. Stay tuned. You know, it depends what you're working on, right? Because I did Harney Teas, a client that sells tea, and I put in cinnamon tea, so that's like a popular category. And there, that was, you know, high search volume is like 8,000 people, 8,000 searches a month. And it was like, this is going to be difficult versus like with the keyword density rating. It tells you like, what will this be? How hard will it be to rank? Mm-hmm. And then I gave it a different one that's more specific, more technical, more niche. I said 350Z clutch. So let's say I've got this, you know, I've got my 15-year-old 350Z, my clutch is trashed. And we got a client who sells those too. Then my volume goes down to, you know, 200 to 400. But then under keyword density, it's straight up like very easy. Your chance to start ranking for new pages, go. Okay, great. Because I know, like, I'm working on this site now. Now I've got confidence. Aha. Here are keyword phrases I know that I could be successful in targeting that speak directly to what they sell.
That's why I don't mind. Lower search volume is totally fine, as long as there are good keywords that make sense for your product. Because, you know, sometimes you'll also find like more obscure, more general keywords. Like if someone's searching tea, like they have clearly not made up their mind about what tea they want to buy. But if they're typing this specific tea in this quantity or something along those lines, this brand of tea, they have a higher purchase intent. So I worry more about purchase intent and competition, as well as optimizing products and pages at scale.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to use SEMrush and its keyword magic tool and associated tools to do my keyword research, really, I think sounds like a step one here. And based on that keyword research, and I see they have a keyword research course you could take. They got documentation. This thing starts at free. You know, I'm playing with it now. I have not paid for it. They got a 7-day trial. Seems legit. I go through that step. Now what? Now things are getting more technical.
Right. So to simplify it, essentially, you're just going to have, more than likely, you should have an employee do this. If you're the brand owner, you're just going to have them go through each product page and each page on your website and associate a keyword with it, right? So just what you're doing now, you're going to look at the page that you currently have. You're going to run that through SEMrush, and they also have the organic research tool that will just, if they already have data on that page, so if you're a more established website, they might just have keywords already associated with the URL. And then that's very easy. And then if they don't, you go to the magic keyword tool and you search in different topics. It's a little bit of that art and science kind of thing. You know, like, okay, here's the name of the product. I'm going to search in, you know, 5 different ways that I think people would search for this product, whether that's just the name of the product or it's the brand of the product. You're going to do that. And then you're going to attach that in a spreadsheet. You're just going to connect those two things. So the page and the keyword. And from there, you can have an employee do that to 100 products, 1,000 products. And that's sort of how we're going to start this process. Does that make enough sense?
One more time. What are they doing?
Yeah. So this is a process called keyword mapping. So you're just doing what you just did, which is you're looking at pages. So products and product collections. So what was the name of your product?
Hot Cinnamon Spice, I think is the name of the tea.
Yeah. So there you go. You actually just said 2 different potential keywords you could input into Keyword Magic. And what we do is we want to do this at scale. So if you're optimizing 1 or 2 pages, you know, you're not going to have too much organic revenue. But if you have a list of all your products, which we can export with Matrixify, then you can go one by one and just have someone gather a keyword for each page. And so if the page is that apple spice tea, then you're just going to input the 2 versions, any keywords that make sense for that page that you think people might search. And once you have sort of some keyword from the magic tool that, you know, has search volume and is relevant towards that product, you're going to then be able to optimize that page for it.
You're like, all right, you got the keyword, you're going to optimize for it. What does that mean?
So let's make it very simple for the optimization process at the start. So what that means is you're going to go into Shopify, you're going to go to that product page, and you're going to change the product name to include the key. And you're going to scroll down and you're going to add it in the description. So in your product description, you're going to mention, you know, if the keyword's apple spice tea, you're going to say apple spice tea. And you might say that at least 2 times, typically 2 to 4 times. Then you're going to scroll down further and you're going to have an SEO title tag that Shopify gives you. And then you're going to add that keyword at the start of the SEO title tag. So apple spice tea dash by our, you know, apple spice tea. And that's going to be your SEO title tag. That's what actually shows up on Google. So when you're searching on Google and you're searching for products, so on, that title tag is going to be the text, the blue link that you actually see on Google. And that's how to optimize a single page. And what I want to talk about today is how to optimize all of your product pages and all of your pages on your website at scale, and something that you could do in an evening.
Yeah, because what you described sounds hugely time consuming.
To actually go through every page and get a target keyword and then change the description and do all of this work, it's going to take a long time. And this is what SEO agencies have done since the beginning of time, is that this is kind of like their, you know, thing, is that they would usually hire overseas and just kind of have someone go through pages all day long adding these keywords. But with AI, that's kind of an antiquated, you know, old way of doing things, and it needs to be improved. And we've found that you can do a much better process with using Matrixify, as well as SEMrush and ChatGPT, do this same process, but at scale, to all of your product pages, all your product collections, and just make the job a whole lot easier.
I have a project, a client in mind. We're doing a migration. And yes. So I've been working, we're going from WooCommerce to Shopify, got all my data over, and now I want to optimize, I want to clean up my catalog. And when the site launches, I want to put them in the best possible position. And so I have the tools you've discussed. I got Matrixify, I got ChatGPT. Now what? How do I get the approach here? How do I speed things along?
Yeah. So here's the exact process. If you have Matrixify, and anyone that hasn't played with it, essentially you can click a button on that app and it will export a spreadsheet with all of your products, all of their names, all of the SEO titles and descriptions, all that nerdy technical SEO stuff. It'll export all of that and allow you to edit it. Now, what makes this magical is that you can take that spreadsheet and you can add ChatGPT within the spreadsheet itself. And so if you upload that to your Google Drive,
how?
Actually, so there's two ways you can do it. One, there's a app called GPT for Sheets, and that's just an extension on Google Sheets that will add that in to your Google Sheets. There's also a script that I actually wrote and I have available, but it also does the same thing. It just requires just doesn't add a price. So the GPT for Sheets, if you're doing a lot of products, it ends up being like $500. But that's the easiest one. Well, $500 per upload. So it does get just kind of annoying. And so you essentially just drop that into your Google Sheets, and then you can use a formula. So just like the equals sum, or if you did any of the math formulas or a VLOOKUP, any of these Excel or Google Sheets formulas, they create a new one that's equals GPT. And you can just simply say equals GPT and then say any prompt you want. GPT, optimize this product name, optimize it for this target keyword, and then do that for every product in my Excel sheet. And then you can upload that back into Shopify and have as many products as you want optimized for SEO.
I'm looking at GPT for Sheets. It adds a function that you could put in the cell. Yeah, equal GPT, and then it's got you stick the prompt in there. And then I assume I can have the variable be dynamic.
Yep.
There it is. It's like you can have it read from a different column. With GPT for Sheets, this thing's going to get expensive. Am I giving it my API to ChatGPT, or does they have their own and then I'm billing on top? They're billing on top of that.
Yeah. So that's what was my issue with that software, is that it used to be free. It used to be you input your own API key and you just use your own credits. And OpenAI is really pretty cheap. I mean, it's usually like cents to optimize a single page. It's like a cent. And then what they did is that they made it so they're upcharging you on that. Like, I think like 300, 400%.
Okay.
For fair enough to them, because it is a good tool. I'm not, you know, down on it, but you can really easily
6 million installs.
Right, right. It's really useful. But what I did, and which is I just wrote my own script, where you can go into Google Sheets, go to the app script, copy and paste it in there, and then add your own API key. And that just makes it, if you are doing this at scale, so if you do want to optimize 1,000, 10,000 or more products, and you want to do this at a budget, that just makes it pretty much sense on the dollar. And since we're doing it at scale for multiple clients, just made sense for me to do that rather than spend $500. I can spend, you know, $2 and get the same result. So
I need to find this thing on your website.
I'm not sure if it's actually on my website. I think it's on the YouTube video. It's called Shopify SEO Tutorial, and it's about how to do this whole process. In there, you have the GPT prompts as well as the script. So you can just copy and paste the script. Also has a template in there, which is the template that I use for doing this at scale.
What's your YouTube handle? I am struggling to find this video.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me share that with you. So my YouTube handle is Patrick Rice. If you search YouTube Patrick Rice, you'll find my YouTube channel. The handle itself is Patrick Rice Co. The YouTube video is called Shopify SEO Tutorial 2024, How to Optimize Your Store with ChatGPT.
All right, in here it goes to a landing page. That opens, I got access to a Google Sheet now.
Yep. And so this Google Sheet is where you can add in all the Matrixify data. And if you go to extensions and then app scripts, you have the actual script in there that runs OpenAI. And you can put in your own API key and everything like that.
I got that. Okay. So now I've got the prompts to do this.
Yep, exactly. And so these are prompts that I wrote myself to optimize each piece of your Shopify product and page data.
Okay. I get into this Google Sheet. I make a copy of it. And then I do extensions and I click app script.
Mm-hmm.
That opens. There's a little ChatGPT app script in here. It's not crazy. And there's second line, API key equals API key. And so I put my actual API key in there.
And then especially for Shopify merchants that are, you know, independent and running on more of a budget, this will be like 2 cents to optimize your pages and should be helpful, I hope.
As we ring in the new year, did you know that over 90% of Shopify merchants won't hit their maximum revenue in 2024? Ugh! That's because they're killing their conversion rates by using outdated landing page designs and default templates. You work hard all year, and you deserve to realize your dream of owning a successful store. But without the right tools, it's like running a marathon with lead weights tied to your feet. That's where Zipify Pages comes in. Zipify Pages is the game-changing landing page builder created by the founder of a $180 million Shopify store. It has everything you need to transform your store into a high-converting, sales-generating machine. Zipify Pages' intuitive builder, mobile-optimized templates, and AI-powered features are helping thousands of Shopify stores boost their conversion rates and run more profitable marketing campaigns. Zipify Pages improves every page on your Shopify store. Just select a template from their template library and then quickly customize it to match your brand. You can easily create better product pages, landing pages, category pages, even home pages. And because every Zipify template is tested on their $180 million Shopify store, you know they actually work. So don't let 2024 drift by with unmet revenue goals. Upgrade your store today with Zipify Pages and make this your best new year yet. Go to zipify.com/Kurt to start a free 14-day trial. That's zipify.com/KURT to try Zipify Pages for free. All right, so definitely need some technical chops here, but still not really getting into coding. And the upside here, if you want to battle with it a little bit, I think is huge. Like, I'm going to do exactly what you described later today. I'm excited to try it.
Right, right. And if you need any help, you know, you have me on email. Just message me. I'm always available. I also made that YouTube video that goes step by step through the process. It's pretty much our internal SOP for how to do this. So watch that too. And that's going to give you really just pretty simple instructions. I tried to make it as simple as possible in terms of getting that all set up and working.
All right, this is very cool. Are there, and this will keep me busy.
I'm keeping it giving you homework. Other,
yeah. Are there other tools, SEO tools I should be using? Like, I know we've used Screaming Frog in migrations to verify that like we've done everything correctly.
Yeah, Screaming Frog is amazing. It's one of my favorites. It's the SEO nerd's favorite tool because I love it. But it is for technical SEO. And so like you're probably pretty experienced in SEO. You're doing migrations. Migrations are pretty difficult for an SEO. And so Screaming Frog is incredible for anyone that wants to take a deeper dive into SEO. But I think SEMrush is a little bit more intuitive with the interface. They're kind of made for business owners, Shopify merchants, and brands, digital marketing managers. And so that's probably an easier place to start. But Screaming Frog, if you want to really dig your hands into some SEO and get a little bit more technical, it's a great tool. I have several tutorials on how to use it. If you've been doing SEO for a little while, I know there's a lot of Shopify brands and merchants that have their organic traffic pretty, good. I know a lot of talented merchants. And if that's the case and you haven't touched Screaming Frog, this is your next step. Like, get into that tool because it can do some powerful stuff.
Okay. If I'm having ChatGPT create content that's going to appear on my site, we haven't gotten to like, hey, it's going to rewrite a product description yet, but using this process 100%, it could. I have discovered that there's a lot of people who are fearful that there will be some penalty, some negative impact on their search rankings just by virtue of the computer wrote it instead of a person, tap a tap on a keyboard. I don't think it's true anymore. I just don't. What is your take?
It's something you have to be aware of because Google did recently drop the March update. And so by March, I mean literally this month. And what that did is that it did take down mass AI sites. And so people that were spamming with AI, and by this I mean like most of the sites you look at that were de-indexed were like 7 million articles. Ridiculous spam. They also have no brand. They're like pure AI spamming. And so you do want to be careful that you're not a spammer, right? And so what we do to ensure that we're providing additional value rather than, lowering the value we give on our pages is that we review all of the content by ChatGPT. And so in the YouTube video I'm talking about, we do actually generate product descriptions. And what we've found is that those product descriptions are oftentimes better than what our clients currently have. And they're actually better for both the users and search engines. And so my opinion on the AI thing is that you need to be reviewing all the content. And so to make this actionable in our process, we do it by 100s. So we'll do 100 products, we'll optimize all the data, and then we'll have one of our SEO professionals go through and review. And they'll edit it, they'll make sure there's no inconsistencies. Of course, sometimes AI like says false things, and you can't be saying that on your website. There's a certain degree of brand there. And all of those things should be checked. And we have a little SOP for how to edit those and try to make it as quick as possible.
Yeah, I think that's the issue with it is a percentage of the time, it's just going to make things up to please you. And so, that's why you can't just like let it set it and forget it. And in these tools, like when you're doing stuff in bulk, it is much more practical to be doing it with GPT 3.5. It's not as good, it's not as smart, but it's way cheaper and way faster than doing everything with GPT 4. But GPT 4 still has those same risks. It's just a little higher quality output. In theory, GPT 4.5 or GPT 5 is right around the corner. Maybe that one doesn't hallucinate, but I doubt it. There's another strategy that you had mentioned to me briefly in our pre-interview. And I didn't quite get what it was, but I like how it sounds. Product collection expansion. What? This is an SEO strategy. What is this?
Yeah, so that's one of our core service offerings, which is that if we search dog harness on SEMrush Magic Keyword, we'll see that that keyword has 60,000 searches per month. Pretty good. But if we look at all of their results, so the whole idea of that tool is that it gives you every keyword that is similar and every keyword that includes dog harness. So the tool will return small dog harness, large dog harness, everything dog harness. And we can see two things. We can first see the total search volume of every keyword related to dog harness. And in that case, it's 1.2 million searches per month. So right on the start, we can see, okay, there's a lot of opportunity here for Shopify SEO. What we then can do is all of those keywords, do you have a page on your website about them? And so you might have a collection page, right? A Shopify collection page on dog harnesses. But do you have a collection page on small dog harnesses, on large dog harnesses, on different types of dog harnesses, maybe yellow, so maybe by color? The product collection expansion process is all about doing keyword research and gathering all the keywords that don't yet have a page on, and then creating new pages for every one of those keywords, and then internally linking them on the website. So we're just expanding.
So we're making SEO landing pages based on keywords.
Exactly.
So that we cast a wider net on our search traffic.
Exactly.
Okay. That works?
Yes. So if you look at any of the search results, you'll actually see this. You'll see if you search small dog harness, all the results there are going to typically be collection pages that, what are their titles? Small dog harness. And if you click onto the website, you'll see this is essentially what they're doing.
So collection pages are easier to rank for this type of keyword phrase than product detail page.
Exactly. And so this is what SEO people like to call search intent, which all it means is that you look at Google and you see what is Google returning for that keyword. And if it's product collections, then make a product collection. But if it's a blog post, make a blog post. You know, if it's a product page, make a product page. And collections are a lot of the time the main things we're creating, because any keyword that's more general is typically going to require a collection page. Because if somebody's searching small dog harness, they don't just want one dog harness. Ideally, most people would want to see multiple options. And so this is sort of the search intent, you know, where you're getting behind the computer and you're looking at the actual person searching. And if someone's searching dog harness, they don't know what dog harness they want yet. They want a collection of products. They want to review multiple options. Maybe they want some content about it. And so that's search intent and figuring out what the person behind the screen actually is looking to buy.
That one surprises me. I had no idea, but hearing the reasoning behind it, it does make sense. And that's such an easy thing to do, like create collections. And again, like Matrixify, you could bulk create collections if you wanted to. But I imagine, you know.
No, that's another process of ours. And I'm trying to share as much of this information as I can. So I'll try to make a YouTube video on that as well, because this same process where you export all the keywords from SEMrush and the Magic tool, you just export them all to a spreadsheet, and then you can use Matrixify to bulk create new collections. And then you can even use Matrixify to add content to those collections for an intro paragraph and things of that nature.
Other strategy I was curious about, I know this is important, but I'm not 100% on like the finer points of implementing it. Internal linking. Linking on your site to pages within your site has benefit, but I don't get the specifics of it.
This is one of my favorite things. I told you I'm an SEO nerd. I love internal links. And the reason is because SEO, since the beginning of time, SEO professionals, they've used backlinks. And yes, I have my own link building team and we do backlinks, but the easiest opportunity, rather than paying for a backlink, which is going to be hundreds of dollars, and a backlink is a link on someone else's website. So like maybe you get on Forbes and that links to your website. An internal link is just a link on your website to your website. So you could go on Shopify, you can go into the themes, you can go into your blog posts, and you can just add a link in a blog post towards a product collection. And say you want to rank dog harnesses, then you're just going to go into your blog and you're going to add a link from one of your blogs to your dog harness collection page. And that's going to boost up the rankings. And it is also kind of surprising. Like, I was talking to someone who isn't in SEO and they were kind of surprised to hear that would boost rankings. But it does consistent. If you go into your blogs or any page on your website and you add, say, 20 links towards one collection, and those are using some relevant text around the keyword you want to rank for, you will almost always see some sort of boost in your ranking. And this goes back to the beginning of Google, where Google started off as this page rank algorithm that's all about links. And there's a lot of ways to do it, but that sort of example I gave you there of just, you know, going into pages and saying, I want this page to rank for dog harness and adding links towards that page, that's the beginner's method and it does work.
I can't, because it's such an easy one and I rarely see that implemented. Certainly, like, I'm not going through the effort to do that. Sounds like this is a big missed opportunity for a lot of people.
Yeah. It would probably be one of the biggest opportunities that I see people not taking, just because it's too much, you know, it's too much sort of manual labor to go through and do that. Or they're just not aware that internal links can boost rankings.
Let's give people an actionable takeaway. If someone wants to start improving their SEO today on a Shopify store, what's the first step you tell them to go do?
The first step is get SEMrush and start figuring out, you know, what are your keywords and what is even the ROI on your Shopify SEO? Because in some industries, it's going to be very competitive, right? So like vape, for instance, like there's tons of money there, but you have companies been doing it forever. Same with like running shoes, you know, like you're competing with Nike. So you have to do some research to just confirm that your industry is right for Shopify SEO. You can also see how much search volume is there. So exactly what we did with Kurt, where we talked about, you know, like using the magic tool to get an idea of the overall search volume of your industry. So start off with just kind of a research phase, you know, figure out what are your keywords that you might want to show up for. Start searching them on Google, have some fun with it, and, you know, see what competitors are doing, see how much traffic they're generating. And then once you decide, hey, this is something I want to do for my brand, then just start experimenting. So maybe you create a collection. You say, hey, I want to try to rank for dog harness. I'm going to create a collection of dog harness and I'm going to link it in my navigation. Or maybe you just start writing blog posts. So I'm going to write 4 blog posts a month and I'm going to try to rank for different informational keywords. What are dog harnesses? That kind of thing. I would start there, just start experimenting and then seeing whether you rank for those keywords. So it becomes this sort of fun game after a while where you're like, okay, I wrote a blog post. Now we're ranking position 50. You know, how do I get that higher? Maybe I add some internal links towards that page. And so if you're going to DIY it, I would recommend that as sort of a very, you know, beginner's starting place to learn Shopify SEO.
Just going through your YouTube channel, there's a ton of resources there. I've linked to all this stuff in the show notes. Tap, swipe up, or Paul admonishes me, if you're on Overcast, you swipe right, I believe. Take it to your show notes. But in there, I've got all the links you mentioned. And your YouTube channel, just a wealth of knowledge, just great screencast tutorials and, you know, nicely edited and produced, which I appreciate. YouTube videos are hard to make. A lot of extra effort there. But for sure, I'm going to attempt this, your tutorial, optimizing your store with ChatGPT. I'm going to try it on a real client store. We'll see how it goes out, how it goes down. Even so, you've saved me a lot of time. It's still a lot of work and it may be difficult, or maybe I've got more money than time. If I wanted to hire you to do it, how do I do that?
Yeah. So you can reach out to us on my website at patrickreisco.com. You can also just stop by the YouTube channel or my LinkedIn or Facebook and drop me a DM. I'm pretty available. I also have Calendly links, and I've been taking a lot of strategy calls where I essentially just, like I'm doing here, I'm pretty much an open book, right? Like, I'll take a look at your site. I'll tell you whether this would work for you. And we can just have an honest conversation. I'm not going to do a hard sell. If I think you don't have an opportunity, I'm going to tell you. And so I would recommend just, you know, stopping by the website, booking a call if that's something you are interested in exploring.
Yeah. And no matter what, just check out some of these resources that he's got. Check out some of these tools. It'll, it may, even if you're not the one doing it, share it with a team member, have them give it a shot. Really quite incredible stuff here. And I'm like a power user with this stuff, and I still have not yet attempted what he's described. So I'm looking forward to making it work, to playing with it. We'll see. If I tear my hair out, I'll be, I've got your phone number, Patrick. I'll be texting
you. Right.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
But no, I'll get it. I'll figure it out.
That's what it's all about, testing. So I'm excited to hear how your results go. Keep me posted.
Patrick Rice, appreciate your time. Thank you so much for being an open book.
Thank you so much, Kurt, for having me.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.